Good morning. As Jeff has already mentioned, we appreciate the presence of everyone, especially our visitors. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. This morning, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, we're going to be looking in just a moment at the first few verses there. We've been studying in our Bible classes the book of Genesis, and we will be coming to the life of Abraham, or maybe you've already come to this point in our study, and I would encourage all of us to be present for our Bible classes. It's a great way to learn more of God's Word so that we can be helped each day along the way. This morning, we're going to be talking about blessings. David prayed about blessings, God blessing individuals. We're going to talk about blessings, and in particular, we're going to be talking about ourselves being a blessing to others. You know, when you look in the Bible with regard to blessings, you'll find three different things. Blessing someone, especially God, our relationship with God, is mentioned over 450 times in the Scripture. It is a theme and a topic and a principle that is everywhere in God's Word. And when you look at those occasions in the Word of God, you find primarily that those references have to do with God blessing people, not necessarily His people, but all people, saints and sinners. There are many physical and spiritual blessings that God gives to mankind. And I would say that the focus of those passages has to do with God giving gifts to mankind. We couldn't even begin to list all of them this morning, all of the physical and spiritual blessings that God gives. And then there's a very large amount of scriptures of this 450 that deal with people blessing God. And the theme there would be that of praising and honoring God. There's just so many passages where it says that so-and-so blessed the Lord and so-and-so blessed the Lord and so forth. A lot of it is in prayer or in singing or some sort of praise. But when you look at the Scripture with regard to blessing, you'll find that there are much fewer passages that deal with this third category. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. And that is people, especially God's people, blessing other people. A lot of times we hear lessons about how that God blesses us, and we talk about the physical and the spiritual blessings that He gives, and we have forgiveness of sins and food and shelter and clothing, and we hear lessons on God blessing us, and that's good. We hear lessons on people blessing God, how that we need to praise God and bless His holy name. But brethren, have you ever thought about ourselves as being a blessing to other people? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We've been studying in the book of Genesis, and just to summarize up to this point, we have, of course, the creation in Genesis 1 and 2. We have the fall involving sin in Genesis chapter 3. We have a wicked world that follows leading up to the days of Noah. And we had some lessons last week on Noah. And so the judgment and the flood. But beginning in Genesis chapter 12, we find that God wants to have a plan of redemption. It started with the promise in chapter 3 of the seed of the woman. It comes through Noah, a righteous man. And then it really begins to take hold in chapter 12, really through the rest of the Bible, with regard to the coming of Jesus Christ and the call of Abraham, God's plan of redemption. Let's read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now Jehovah said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee I will curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I remember growing up hearing a lot of sermons about Genesis 12, 1 through 3, in Bible classes and comments. And there was always an emphasis on the three promises of God. And those are great lessons. The promise of a great nation, verse 2, where it is fulfilled in the book of Exodus, where the Egyptians are down there in bondage and they become a great nation and they come out into the wilderness and go into the land of Canaan. The land promise that is mentioned in verse 1 and then given more detail in verse 7, which is fulfilled in the days of Joshua And they come in the conquest of Canaan. So the great nation promise and the land promise and then the seed promise in verse 3. In these shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Paul equates that to Christ in Galatians chapter 3, that he was the seed promise. But read the passage again. And particularly, read the end of verse 2 again. Read carefully. This is a side point on Bible study. And this happens to me when I'm reading well-known passages and favorite passages of mine. I read to the point that I'm very familiar with, but I might not read every bit of that verse. Read every word of verse 2, and you'll notice at the end there's another statement that we don't talk about much, and that's the statement, "Be thou a blessing." That's what I want to talk about this morning. It wasn't just about Abraham getting a bunch of nice things. He was to turn around with all of that and be a blessing to other people. That's what I want to talk about this morning. We get so many great blessings from God. But we are to turn around and be a blessing to others. It wasn't just that Abraham was, give me a great nation and give me a land and give me a seed promise. But it was also in the process of, from chapter 12 to 25, of getting a lot of things from God, he's supposed to turn around and bless others. Be a blessing. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Look at chapter 12, 1 through 3 again, and I want you to notice three elements here that you really find all throughout Scripture. First of all, you find the element that God calls him, verse 1, "Get thee out of thy country." We're called today through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. God is calling us to do something and be something, just like he did with Abraham. And he obeyed that call, and there's some great lessons on the faithful obedience of Abraham. Number two, notice the second element and these little "I wills." Verse 1, "I will show thee." Verse 2, "I will make thee." Verse 3, "I will bless them." The "I wills." The second element is a bunch of promises. So when Abraham responded to the call, he received God's blessings. And we do the same. Paul says that we receive the blessings. We're like children of Abraham, Galatians 3:9, if we are in Christ. We could talk about all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3. But notice the third element that I believe sometimes gets overlooked, and that is found in the end of verse 2, "Be thou a blessing." We're supposed to respond to God's call. We're going to get some great blessings from it, but we have to go out and be a blessing to others. It's not just about give me, give me, give me. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Toward the end of the book of Proverbs, the proverb writer has a number of lessons that are taken from animals and sometimes small creatures. I've always liked this one. Proverbs 30, verse 15. "The horse leech," my margin says vampire, don't ask me what that is. I can't tell you what a vampire is. I know what it is in the movies, but probably some small blood-sucking animal. "The horse leech has two daughters crying, 'Give, give.' There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four that say not enough." It kind of reminds me of our current culture. It's always about give me, give me, give me. So, brethren, this morning I want us to think about give, 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 not give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I want us to talk about the principle this morning in verse 2. Be thou a blessing. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 8 before we get into the lesson. Let me illustrate this a little bit further. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 8. In the book of Zechariah, Haggai and Zechariah are prophets that have been sent after the Babylonian captivity to stir up God's people to finish building the temple. They've laid the foundation and now they need to finish rebuilding the temple. And there are different things that Haggai and Zechariah do to encourage not just the people, but also the leadership. And in Zechariah chapter 8, we find this same principle here. Look at Zechariah chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 9 through 13. Zechariah 8, 9 through 13, you're going to find these same three elements. There's a call to get up and do something, just like Abraham, get thee out of thy nation. And then there are promises, I will do this and I will do that. And then we're going to find in verse 13 the same statement, be a blessing. Verse 9, Jehovah of hosts, let your hands be strong, that you hear in these days these words from the mouth of the prophets that were in the day that the foundation of the house of Jehovah of hosts was laid, even the temple, that it might be built. Verses 9 and 10, there's a call to get up and finish this temple. And Zerubbabel, the leadership, is encouraged back in chapter 4 to get busy and finish this work. Then look at verse 11. But now, look at the I wills. I will not be unto the remnant of this people as in the former days, saith Jehovah of hosts. For there shall be the seed of peace. Look at these promises and these blessings. The vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give its increase, the heavens shall give their due. And I will, the I wills, the promises, the blessings. I will cause the remnant of the house to inherit all these things. And it shall come to pass, as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you. And you shall be a blessing. It wasn't just, what's Israel going to get when they rebuild the temple? It's, they're going to get some things from God. Verse 12, absolutely. But they are to turn around and be a blessing to the people and the nations around them. That's what I want to talk about this morning. A lot of times we hear about the blessings that we receive from God. And that's a great lesson. I want us to talk about this other principle. And that is that as we're receiving the blessings from God, we're supposed to be going out and giving. Not give me, give me, give me, but giving it away. And sharing with others and being a blessing. Turn back with me now to Genesis chapter 12. And let's see how was it that Abraham was a blessing to others. Is there any indication in his life, which is recorded from Genesis 12 to Genesis 25, where he dies, is there any indication in the life of Abraham that he was a blessing to others? Is there any indication that he went out and did what God wanted him to do? And the answer is yes. I'm just going to survey and highlight a few things. This is not an exhaustive list. We don't have time to look at all of the life of Abraham this morning, but a few things come to my mind. The first thing that comes to my mind is that when he went out, he blessed his own family by showing them the importance of worship. In chapter 12 and verse 7 and 8, in chapter 13 and chapter 22 and verse 9, he's always building an altar. He goes here and builds an altar, and he goes there and builds an altar. What is his family seeing in that? That worship is important to my dad, or my husband, or my uncle, in the case of Lot. I'm not going to miss worship. I'm not going to skip worship. I'm not going to pass on worship. I'm not going to let that be secondary, and I'll do it if I don't have anything else to do. It's always going to be first in my life. He was a blessing in showing his family that worship is important. He blessed others by caring for his nephew. His nephew. Seems like he's always getting himself into trouble, that Lot. But Abraham doesn't say, well, my nephew, you know, he's young and inexperienced. And what's he doing in chapter 13? When the flocks are so great there, he gives Lot his choice. You pick wherever you want to go, and when you make that pick, I'm going to go somewhere else. And then when Lot gets into trouble, he's right in the thick of the battle between the five kings and the four kings. What does Abraham have to do? He's got to come and bail him out, rescue him. Abraham was a blessing on his nephew. And sometimes people get themselves into trouble in life and we need to be there to help them out. Abraham didn't say, well, look, man, my nephew, he's the guy that picked Sodom and Gomorrah. That's his problem. I don't live over there. I'm not in the battle with those kings. That's not my problem. He was a blessing by helping Lot. Come with me to chapter 18 when God wants to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, Abraham could have said, look, I don't have a dog in that fight. I don't have a vested interest in, I didn't go live in Sodom and Gomorrah. But what is he doing in chapter 18? He's praying for them, interceding. Would you please save this city if we can find a few righteous folks there? You don't find selfishness in Abraham. You don't find this attitude of, well, I sort of live on an island and I come and go. God is blessing me. I don't really worry about people around me. No, he's a blessing to those around him. So we find his intercession. Of course, we find his obedience, and that's what is identified a lot in Scripture, is the faithful obedience of Abraham. When God calls him in chapter 12, he leaves. When God calls him in chapter 21 to offer up his son as a sacrifice, or chapter 22 rather, he immediately goes and he does that very thing. The reason I mentioned chapter 21 was the reference there to circumcision of Isaac. And the text says that Abraham circumcised Isaac as God commanded him. Chapter 21 and verse 4. He's doing what God commands. You're a blessing to others when you show them the importance of obeying God's word. I believe Abraham was a blessing when he showed his love towards Sarah in buying the cave there in the field of Machpelah, and he wanted to bury his loved one. He loved her. And then at the end of his life, before he dies in chapter 25, if you'll turn with me there, the text says, Abraham gave gifts and he sent them away from Isaac his son. Gift giving right at the end of his life. Abraham was a blessing to others. I want to encourage us this morning that when we get up each day, not to be thinking, give me, give me, give me, but what can I go out and do toward those around me to be a blessing? Did you know that our work is not just simply something we get up and go do. We just go through the grind, earn some money, pay some bills, and then do it all over again. Our work and the contact that we make in that work should be viewed as a blessing. Coming together in this congregation, it's not just the rituals and the routines and going through the motions, but it should be viewed as I'm going somewhere and I can bless others while I'm there. My work, coming together in the assembly, my family, my marriage. I want us to be thinking along the lines this morning of me giving the gifts to someone else. Me blessing someone else. And you remember the chart just a while ago, the emphasis when we're talking about individuals blessing other individuals, it's enrichment. We're trying to build the other person up. We live in a very selfish society, very selfish world. And myself included, it's easy to get up during the day and just be thinking about me. When I come to the service, they better give me a good sermon. They better give me a good Bible class. The song leader better give me good singing. It's all about me and me and me. I hope when I go there, they're going to give me something. And it's easy for me to think the same way. That's sort of a natural way to think when you get up. Is my work going to give me this? Is my school going to give me this? Is the church going to give me this? Is God going to give me something today? I want us to think about that statement in verse 2. And be thou a blessing. That's just as important as all that other. When we come to the New Testament, we see that Abraham clearly blessed others by teaching countless, you can't even count the number of people from the time of Abraham onward that have been taught the importance of faithful obedience to God. He blessed millions and millions of people who have ever picked up a Bible and read about the faithful obedience and what is necessary to be right with God. He has blessed others, countless others, by the example of an active, obedient faith. everywhere in the New Testament. Romans 4 and Galatians 3 and Hebrews 11 and James 2. We don't even have time to read all those passages where it talks about Abraham was faithful and active and how that is an example to us. In fact, Paul says in Romans 4 that we're supposed to walk in the steps of faithful Abraham. He has blessed countless numbers of people worldwide in showing what it means to be active and obedient to God. He truly blessed others. And we are the recipients of that because Paul says in Galatians 3 that we are children of Abraham when we obey the gospel and we're baptized into Christ. We have that same faith that he had. Brethren, this morning I want us to think about something maybe, and I include myself, that maybe we forget. And that is we're to get up each day, and it's not just about getting blessings from God, but blessing others. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about that principle that really is found all over the Word of God. And I want to turn our attention now to some ways in which we can do that. How are we a blessing to others? One thing that comes to my mind is that we can be an encouragement to the righteous who are around us. When we come into this building, brethren, when we walk through the door back there, think, okay, I am going in and I'm going to bless others. I think it's great to think about what am I going to get. And I hope that you get a good sermon. I hope that you get a good Bible class and good song leading and a good talk around the Lord's table. And we need to be concerned about making sure that we're doing things according to God's Word. But when I go through the door, I need to be thinking, what am I going to give? I'm going to be a blessing to others around me. In the Word of God, we find where people were blessing other people by encouraging them in their righteous activities. Can we do that? Can we do that? Let's do that. We're not going to come in and be negative and critical and harping and biting. And what can we say that ends up discouraging someone and deflating someone? Let's be a blessing to the righteous who are around us by encouraging them and building them up. And that means I'm going to have to come out of myself, that's true. I'm going to have to say and do something to other people, righteous people, and encourage them and build them up. Solomon did that, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 14, when the temple was first built and they're dedicating, as it were, this new temple. The text says that he blessed the people. They're doing a good thing by coming together in this temple to worship, and he blessed them. We find the same thing in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 2 with his father David. When the Ark of the Covenant is brought back to Jerusalem, there's a story there in 1 Kings 16 about how that David gathers people together there to worship and praise God. But before they get to blessing God, verse 2 says he just blessed the people. Look at 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 27. In the days of Hezekiah, Hezekiah has some reforms and God's law had been neglected and several things were going wrong there, and they're getting it back on track, and the Passover was reinstituted. And in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 27, the text says that the people were blessed because they've gathered together to do what is right once again. We're not going to neglect the Passover anymore. Encourage your brethren. Be a blessing to them by saying or doing something that builds them up and not tears them down. Look at Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 2. I like this passage. We're not putting down an urban environment with these next few comments, but any of you who have lived out in the country versus living in town, you know that there's different challenges. And it's not wrong to live in town, but it is a sacrifice in some ways. And look at Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 2. The text says that there were some people, after they rebuild the temple and then rebuild the walls in the city in the days of Nehemiah, the text says that some people willingly offered to live in town. That might strike us off. We might be thinking, well, we live in town. What's the big problem? But there are different challenges when it comes to living in town. And they willingly offered themselves to do that. And the text says the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem. Thank you for doing this. We want to encourage you to do this. We need to rebuild the city. You're to be commended for this. Thank you. Let's be thinking about how that we can bless the righteous around us. We're surrounded by so much ungodliness as it is. When we can be around our righteous brethren, let's bless them with things that we say and do to encourage them. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 11. Here's a second way we can bless those around us. We can bless those around us by living a godly and upright life. So when people around us are using the foul language and they're fornicating and drinking and gambling and doing all this kind of thing, and whether it's at work or school or everywhere else, you go into that situation and you be a godly, upright person, and you can bless people around you. You can show them that this is not the way to live. This is not the way to act. Proverbs 11 and verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Now, I get it. I know. The city leaders, from the mayor on down, they may not care. From the president on down in our nation, they may not care. I get that. But when you are in an environment, bring it up, enrich it, make it better through your uprightness. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. We're not going to bless anybody around us by living just like them, living the wicked lives that they're living. So talk different, dress different, act different, and not just different, but upright and godly. And you can bless people around you. And you can exalt it. You can bring the level up. And that's what we need in our nation, in our state, and in our city. We need more exalting, lifting up. Another proverb says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so we can bless those around us by living godly, upright lives, even though they are not. They will be attracted to that. Some of them will. Some don't care. Some don't care what you're doing. But some could be attracted to that. And it's an open door to talk with them about the right and proper behavior. Be a blessing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. This should be Matthew chapter 5 on the PowerPoint. Familiar passage. It's so familiar I put the wrong chapter. So there you go. Sermon on the Mount. Very familiar with chapter 5, verse 16. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You can be a blessing to those around you by showing them God outside of the Bible. Now, I hasten to say that they won't be saved outside the Bible. They need the gospel. Eventually, we're going to have to get to the Word of God. We're going to have to study with them about those things. But their first contact with God may be you and not a Bible. Try to strike up a spiritual conversation with someone. David was talking about reaching people in the community. It's very easy, brethren, to hand someone the bulletin. Very easy. Bob has gone through a lot of work in making copies of the CDs. There's a whole stack of them back there. Just grab one on your way out and just hand it to someone. That doesn't take any work at all. It's very easy. It's very easy. But in the way that we're living and in the example that we're setting, we're showing God. And we can do more than just an example. We can invite. We can ask. A repairman came out to the house Thursday. He looked to be early 20s. While he was there in the kitchen, I just asked him, I said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "I don't go anywhere. I don't go anywhere." Very nice young man. Very, very respectful. Very nice young man. Very educated. He said, I just don't go anywhere. And so we talked about that. We exchanged information. He said he's from the Laverne, Murfreesboro area, and he wants to move to Clarksville and start an HVAC business. And I said, when you move, let's talk. Let's study. Let's come to services. It's easy to do, brethren. It's not difficult. Be a blessing to others. Lift other people up. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I want us to be thinking this morning that when we get up each day, our first thought needs to be the contacts that I make today. And it starts immediately with your spouse. They may be the first contact. And then your children, that might be the second contact. Depends on who's in the room when you get up. But there's going to be some contacts. There's going to be immediate ones. And then you get in your car and you drive to work. And there's going to be some contacts there. Or school. Or other places. Each person that I'm about to approach, I want to approach with the attitude, I'm going to be a blessing to them today. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. "But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Look at this. "That you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We are to get up each day and show forth the excellencies of God. And we do that in our conversations and in the way that we live. And I know that it is challenging. We know about other religious individuals, for example, those who go around knocking on doors. We know who they are. And we say, "Well, I don't want to be like that, and I don't want to be viewed as a religious zealot and a religious fanatic and somebody who's always talking about the Bible." But maybe we need to be more like that. Maybe we've gone to the other extreme and we're doing nothing. We can't bless others around us unless we show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. And then last of all, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. We can be a blessing to others around us by treating them in a blessed way. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and following. There are going to be people around us that mistreat us in some kind of way. We can take the high road and be a blessing to them and do what Jesus is about to say here, or we can stoop to their level and just act like them and be no blessing at all. How we kindly treat others is a blessing. You know, it's interesting when we think of kindly treating others. Let me just mention some simple little things that maybe we wouldn't think of. How about hold the door for an old person? Hold the door open for an old person. And our young people can do that. Say hello. Say goodbye. Say please. Thank you. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. What about just common courtesy? We're losing that in our nation. I was reading an article a couple of years ago about how America is becoming discourteous. America is becoming where people just are not nice anymore to people. Just holding a door for someone. Carrying a box for someone. Saying hello to someone. Let's not be so self-absorbed that we can't even just speak as we walk by people to bless them. Look at Luke chapter 6. Jesus is talking about enemies. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. But I say unto you that hear, and we need to hear, we need to listen. Some people won't hear. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you, and bless them that curse you. Now that strictly involves saying words to them of a blessing nature. But it also involves, if you keep reading, actions. Pray for them that despitefully use you. To him that smiteth you on one cheek, offer also the other. And from him that taketh away thy cloak, withhold not thy coat also. Give to everyone that asketh thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. It's this giving, nice spirit. We have gotten away from that in our nation. And we don't want it affecting our children and our grandchildren. Just saying and doing nice things, even to those who are not treating us properly. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Look at the apostles in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And if anybody had cause to turn around and give somebody a bad word, it would be the apostles. But look at what happened with the apostles when they were mistreated. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 12. We toil, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Somebody says something bad to us, I'm not going to dish it back to them. They let off a string of this. I'm not going to do it back to them. If anything, what comes out of my mouth is going to be a kind word. And that's very hard to do. Very hard to do. But it's something that we must do. And it's a way to bless others. People in the first century did not like the apostles. They did not like them one whit because they were preaching the truth. The next verse talks about being defamed. They're considered the filth of the world. People did not like the apostles. And when they said bad things toward them, Paul said, we just returned with kind words. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. We can bless those around us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. Finally, brethren, be like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrarywise, blessing. For hereunto were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. There's that principle again. We're going to inherit some great blessings, and that's a great sermon for another time. All the blessings that we get from God, but we are to be a blessing to those around us. We come to the close of our lesson this morning. I want us to think about Genesis 12, 2. And in all of those great lessons about the land promise and the great nation promise and the seed promise, I want us to think about that little statement that I think sometimes gets overlooked in verse 2. And be thou a blessing. Why? Well, just simply because God says to. That's what God wants us to do, starting today. That's what God wants us to do. It's a divine principle that needs to be in our life. And while I'm not opposed to us getting up and making sure that we're taken care of and this is taken, instead of thinking, give me, give me, give me, can I get up and think, what can I give away? God blesses us so that we can bless others. And that really is the whole point of Abraham and Zechariah and others. We're blessed so that we can turn around and bless others. Not so that we can hoard it all ourselves. God doesn't give us cars and homes and income and money and food and shelter and clothes so we can just hoard it ourselves. God doesn't give us a job in a local congregation and something to come to here just so that we can keep it all to ourselves. That's why I asked the scripture reading of Matthew chapter 10. Freely you have received.
What? What?
Freely give. Every day God blesses us. He freely gives us all kinds of things every day. Let's turn around and freely give that to somebody else. Not be like the four lepers that you remember in 2 Kings 7 and verse 9 who happened upon in the days of a famine. A bunch of food and even silver and gold and nice things. And they said, we've got this great stuff. It's not right for us to keep silent. So they go and tell so that others can have those nice things as well. When we're a blessing to others, we're just simply doing what God says to do. It makes us less selfish. Our Christianity is not just about getting, but also about giving. And if we really understand that we have freely received, that makes us grateful and thankful, then we will go out and freely give. It brings others to God. And we need that so much in our anti-God, atheistic world of today. Starting today, can we encourage our brethren more? Can we engage in godly living in an ungodly environment? Can we show others God, hoping to bring them to the point of actually showing them the Bible? Can we treat others kindly? It's interesting, in the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, I believe the first three, there are nine there, I believe the first three relate to our relationship with God. The second three relate to our relationship to our fellow man. The last three relate to our relationship with ourself. But the middle three, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. Long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. Go out and be more of that and be a blessing to everyone. The first person that you come in contact with in your house when you get up, be a blessing to them. And then just move out from there all day long until you come back home again and put your head on your pillow. Let's be a blessing to others. As we offer the invitation this morning, the best way to bless others is to be a Christian yourself. So if we can encourage you to come and be baptized into Christ, you can be a true blessing to others if you are a faithful Christian yourself. If you need to come back in some way, if you've been erring in some way, we cannot bless others when we're not right with God ourselves. So the first step is to come and put on Christ, or to come back in some way if we can pray for you, and then we can turn around. And for the rest here this morning, let's be a blessing, starting right now and from each day that we live. I thank you for your time and attention this morning. I hope the admonition from God's Word will encourage us to be what He wants us to be. If you're subject in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?